Welcome to the PaxX podcast, which tracks the evolution of the airline passenger experience and industry's sustainability initiatives. We're pleased to share our interview with Christina Casadas, CEO of the Allegheny County Airport Authority, which runs Pittsburgh International Airport. The interview was conducted on the sidelines of the IATA World Sustainability Symposium in Coral Gables.
Sustainability message around Pittsburgh International. Of course, you guys are among the leaders on that front with your grid, both solar and natural gas. Do you feel as if, you know, after you took the lead on that, you've seen others kind of follow suit?
I'm not sure I'd attribute it to what we've done, but I think that in general, more people are doing more and there's pressure to do more. So any good public utility will respond.
Yes.
So I think that in some cases it works. It has worked that we've given people sort of license to say, yeah, this is something we as an airport can do.
Yes.
But I can't point to any directly.
Okay.
We are getting visits from folks to tour the microgrid.
Okay.
We have had Southwest Airlines actually came up and said, we want to understand this so we can talk to some of our other airport partners about it. We had the city of Houston come in to look at it for the airport in Houston. And we have a group coming over from Japan, actually.
Oh, it's fascinating.
So, and we've had other airports ask us about it. And we just published a white paper.
Okay.
But
I'll check that out.
Yeah. But it's, I would say that yes, it's getting traction, probably because let me rephrase that. We're getting interest, so but we haven't seen anybody else do a microgrid yet.
Okay, very good.
There you go.
You're kind of naturally advantaged on the natural gas front there.
Correct. Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about that and that kind of nice hybrid that you have.
So when I got there, they had just signed the lease with CNX. So when I took over, that deal was already done. CNX had secured permission to extract natural gas on the property, and I think about a year after I got there, they started we started to see the results of that, because we get a small percentage of the royalty. We get a royalty for that.
Okay.
So that has helped us with capital. It has helped us enormously to reinvest, and that's been really important for us. But we wanted to make sure that what we were doing is that we were investing not just, you know, financial resources, but investing these gas resources.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the question?
Oh, in terms of the decision to kind of have a hybrid microgrid.
There was no way it was not going to be hybrid.
Okay.
How do you send a message on sustainability and not have a renewable fuel source?
Yes.
So to me, it was non-negotiable.
Okay.
There was going to be a renewable resource for fuel that would power that microgrid in addition to the natural gas, because that's the story we wanted to tell. The story we've always wanted to tell is that it's a pathway. It's a series of steps. It's not a leap into a cleaner, greener future.
Yes.
And so what can we do to be more resilient? Number one, that was the first goal. But we weren't going to do it at the expense of finance or at the expense of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So once we realized we could attain resiliency and lower our carbon footprint and lower our energy costs, which of course directly impacts the airline's bottom line, then it was a no-brainer.
Okay.
And so let's tell the whole story.
Right? Yeah.
The whole story is that airports can do more to be sustainable, and we had the land for solar, so it just made a whole lot of sense. Nobody's putting wind turbines up at an airport. There weren't a whole lot of options, the solar makes sense, and I think we're about to double the solar farm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what would that entail? Do you have the land all
we
mapped
do.
Out?
Yeah,
you
we do.
Do.
Yeah, we've got plenty of land. We sit on 8,800 acres at Pitt, so we've got a lot of space.
Morning.
And we've got a lot of space, and we have a lot of will. That's Chad Willis. He runs environmental planning and our sustainability work. And do we have a date? Do we have a date when we're expanding the solar farm? It hasn't been announced yet.
It hasn't been.
It's coming soon.
It's coming. That's interesting. I've had the opportunity to speak to a number of ground handlers at this event. And, of course, there's all sorts of things that can be done to prepare for, you know, hydroelectric. Is Pittsburgh thinking hydrogen just yet?
Yes, we are.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, we actually worked with a DOE patented scientist in Pittsburgh to test how to create distributed hydrogen in a cost-effective manner. We actually did a one-year study with him, and we're looking for the funding. We've talked to everybody from DOE to some of the airlines' venture funds about building the prototype, which would be about the size of the back of an 18-wheeler,
okay,
as opposed to a huge hydrogen hub.
Gotcha.
So how do you create distributed hydrogen in a cost-effective manner? Yeah, we see ourselves as a hydrogen hub in ourselves.
I mean, okay,
we have use cases for it, not just us, but our partners do, and we want to be at the forefront of that as well.
Very good. When you're here at this particular conference, then what are you looking to learn, connect with, understand? What's your driver here?
Why are we here?
Yeah.
We're here at this conference because, frankly, we are looking for who in the ecosystem is making moves. Who's thinking differently than we are? How do
okay.
we learn? What else are we missing? How can we connect with folks who have the same ideas that we do, or the same sort of value system around let's make this better?
Mm-hmm.
I feel strongly that as an industry, globally, we need to earn our right to grow. And I am an aviation aficionado. I mean, my dad is a Pan Am pilot. I care about this industry.
Yes.
And I don't want it hammered with the misperception that we're not doing anything.
Okay.
So I think we need to tell better stories, and I think we need to, you know, connect more with each other so that there's a there in terms of what this industry is doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. I'm not sure we're always telling the story publicly. I think we talk to each other a lot.
Okay.
But I don't think we talk to the rest of the world as much as we need to.
Yes.
I listen to speakers talk about, you know, the social and the, you know, the economic benefits of aviation. I think too many people take it for granted.
Yes.
So that's why I'm here.
Very good. If we may pivot then to obviously the expansion at Pitt and mm-hmm. what that's going to mean to the passenger experience.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that it's going to be more contained and easier.
Yes.
And
talk
to me
trained.
A little bit. Yeah, and I just read the Point Sky report from last month, which is really interesting as well. You guys are making strong headway. It looks beautiful.
It is. It's going to be open in about a year, and it's been a long time coming. It's really about right-sizing and modernizing the airport. I mean, we don't need the half-mile train in between airside and landside because we're not a hub. And we need to line up the facility with the business model that has been successfully transformed over the last 10 years. And we also need to make sure that we can do what we're doing in everything else and sort of making it work for everybody.
Right.
It doesn't. Airports don't work for everybody.
Right.
They don't work for everybody, and we'd like ours too. So we are putting a lot into user experience. We're putting, and I mean for everybody, you know, there's a lot of focus on accessibility, and we're doing a lot around even our employee and the partner employee experience. And how does the airport work? How do we attract more people into aviation? I care a lot about this.
Right.
I don't think I mean, look at this industry. It's so amazing, and I'm not sure everybody gets it anymore.
No,
and I want people to be choosing this as a career.
And so I think I still am in wonder at, you know, being able to ride a rocket to another country. But yes, I think you said, like you said, people take it for granted.
They do.
One of the things that I did want to touch on, of course, is what you just mentioned, is the accessibility mm-hmm. aspect of mm-hmm. what you guys are doing. By taking that people mover out of the equation, mm-hmm. it's going to create a more accessible mm-hmm. space, which is becoming more and more important. And combine that, obviously, with your growing low-cost carrier
market
coming out of Pittsburgh seems to make a ton of sense.
Yeah, it does.
So talk to me just a little bit about, could you walk me through if I am, pardon the pun, but if I am, for example, in a wheelchair mm-hmm. or need wheelchair assist,
mm-hmm.
what would the future look like then at Pitt?
Well, first of all, you'd be able to navigate our retail spaces,
okay,
which you can't do always
in
a wheelchair. You have shorter time from check-in to gate. The facility itself is more easily navigable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you walk into our landside building today, first of all, I don't know what floor you're coming in on because there are three stories that you can enter, or two. No, sorry, you can come on three different levels at the airport.
Because you can come in through parking,
you come in through parking, or you go in through departures, you can through arrivals. There's three levels on two sides of the airport, okay? So you're lost. You spend a lot of time looking, and the ticket counters sort of ring the building. So if you walk in, you might have to turn around. It's actually pretty confusing. Then you have to go downstairs to get through TSA.
Yeah.
Then you have to ride a train. Then you've got to go up two escalators. So right there, we're taking all of that out. When you are a departing passenger, you are sort of going through. The building itself is meant to create intuitive wayfinding. When you walk in, it's right or left for ticket counters, and there's only one way to go.
Yeah.
So that makes a big difference. We're also working a lot on accessibility in terms of folks with neurodivergent disorders, right? We've got Presley's Place, we have the Sunflower Program. We did a lot of work with CMU around visually impaired passengers, which is now transitioning to the next step. We have an app we developed with them called NavCog, which is now being transitioned.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
So we're very focused on everything from non-native speakers, which is not a disability, I want to be clear, but non-native English speakers to folks with, you know, hearing disabilities, visual disabilities, color blindness. I mean, we're looking at everything, right? And including sign height, because there are some people who can't look up. So we are putting everything through a very rigorous accessibility review, and in order for people to feel like, okay, I get it, and I can navigate this space, either alone or with a caregiver.
Okay. Talking to you, you know, sustainability, accessibility, clearly top on the list, and equality and introducing more women to the industry.
Equal access to opportunity.
You sound almost European.
God.
But that's great. I mean, because we're in such a kind of a politically divisive time right now leading up to the election. And some of these things like DEI are starting to roll back in a little bit in the U.S. Where do you see us going here in the United States specifically on some of these core issues that it seems like Europe often kind of takes the lead on?
I think that we have an opportunity to just do the right thing, and it doesn't need to be labeled, and it doesn't need to be divisive language.
Yeah.
It needs to just be, like, at the end of the day, our staff should reflect the community we serve.
Right.
That's not hard. It makes us better at what we do, makes us deliver better services, and at the end of the day, we make more money.
Yeah.
It's not a hard, it's actually
a win-win.
It's a win-win. So I think that we have an obligation also to build the builders. In order for our economy to grow, you have to have people who can build things, rehab things, and so if we've got a shortage of carpenters, electricians, or iron workers.
Yeah.
Whatever we see as we're building this huge terminal, we're now in touch with the construction industry in a way we never were before. And it's like, wait a minute, can we do more with this too? So that's our workforce development program. We built an on-site childcare center. We rerouted bus lines from communities that did not have participation at the airport by working with our transit authority. It's actually not hard.
Yeah.
And it's not anything other than saying there's a whole workforce out there that hasn't even considered this industry. The industry needs people. Here's an idea. Let's do the right thing, put it together, and use our position to help bring people into an industry that is phenomenal and might not have been on their radar before.
Okay.
So where do I see it going? I think at the end of the day, smart businesses understand that there's no politic. There's no political identification in just doing the right thing.
Right.
Okay. And frankly, we win no matter what because we feel that air travel is not political.
Yeah.
It's a fact of life. It's ubiquitous and it needs to be more ubiquitous and we need it to grow. So let's just work together on that.
Okay.
And we sort of find the things that people can agree on and that's where we focus.
That's
how we get it done.
Just to circle very back, you said you're on track for 2025, right, on that?
Yeah.
What's the kind of larger plan then in attracting more airlines to the space and those
staff.
Kind of conversations?
Staff,
okay.
Right. So if I feel like the more that we do to enable airlines to work better as a business, like the microgrid, it lowered our energy costs.
Okay.
That goes, at the end of the day, that offsets our operating costs, which they're backing through their airline, through the CPE. So the more that we can do to create revenue opportunities, and I mean like ones that are last and are sustainable in themselves, the more that we can deliver services that passengers want, the lower the cost is to the airline. And that's really the goal is how do we be the place where an airline says, I choose to either expand or to start new service, I choose to keep my service there. We are constantly focused on how competitive it is for an airline for us as an airport to attract and retain an airline. They can move them quickly.
Yes.
So we want them to keep saying, yes, we feel good about being here. Yes, we want to expand here. Yes, we believe in this market. So to the extent that we can do that through being a good business partner and finding ways to be a better one, we're going to keep doing it.
Okay, very good. Like I said, I went to Greensboro Central. I also went to St. Vincent College in La Trobe, and I lived in Pittsburgh for a year before moving to D.C. So I have an affinity for the Pittsburgh area. But it does feel like you have kind of elevated Pittsburgh in a very interesting way and taken it into kind of world stage, because I'm old enough to remember when U.S. Airways obviously was
left.
And this was a hub, and when they left, and how I felt about that at the time. I was not a happy camper at the time, you know.
You and lots of other people, and I'll tell you, it is still, I would say it's still a scar on the community. So when I came in 10 years ago and I said, we're not going to be a hub anymore, there were gasps in the room. And I said, okay, hold on. It's not the only business model that's good.
Right.
There's a great O&D opportunity. And now I would say we went from hub to O&D, and now we're at O&D and R&D. That's what I want to be. It's
nice.
Like, how do you redefine an airport? It doesn't just need to be where the planes take off and land.
Yes.
It can actually return more value to a community by the fact that it's bringing in global business, and it is the place that people begin and end journeys. So what do we do with that, and how does that ripple through a community and an industry so that it becomes a positive reinforcing loop?
I love that you're bringing in the tech focus and Pittsburgh's kind of prowess in that standpoint.
Yeah, the robotics, AI, automation. We do that through our X-Bridge. So we took 10,000 square feet at the end of one of our concourses that wasn't doing much.
Nice.
And there are four gates. We work with airlines testing technology. We bring folks into Pittsburgh and say, meet the robotics companies. We bring the robotics companies into the airport and say, not solve a problem, but what do you think your technology could do here?
Nice.
So it's all of a sudden opening up all of these connections that I think are... The robotics companies aren't even looking at aviation.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Yeah. So they come in and they're like, wait a minute, we could do this, this, and this. And that's what the X-Bridge tests. And so we're looking to have that be sort of more, more widely known that the community is available to support the industry. I mean, Carnegie Mellon's a terrific partner, and so is the University of Pittsburgh. Yeah,
for sure. Do you have any recommendations to young women or girls considering aviation as a career?
Oh, I think it's a fantastic career, and I think that it's. Do I have any recommendations? Like, if you love to travel, there's always something you can do, and it's always going to be probably going to be tied to aviation, even if it's a cruise ship industry, which I know Christina worked in, because usually people are flying right to the cruise port in order to get on the ship. Like, there's just so much that's possible, and there's so much opportunity. It's a growing industry. It's grown faster, than the GDP, and it will always be something that we need really good, smart people in. Plus, it's like at an airport, we're like a city. You can do anything. You can be a carpenter in aviation. Mm-hmm. You can be a finance professional in aviation. You can be in operations. You can be a pilot, a flight attendant, whatever. So I think it's a terrific industry, and it's a great way to understand the world differently.